The first lighthouse built in the country, Boston Light, is celebrating 300 years as a navigational beacon in Boston Harbor. The lighthouse is still operating. It's part of a living history museum staffed by the country's only resident lighthouse keeper. It recently reopened for public tours after extensive renovations, and Deborah Becker from Here and Now contributor WBUR took a boat ride out to visit.
On a small, roughly 2-acre rocky island about 10 miles from Boston, the Lighthouse Tower looks just like it might have looked when it was first lit in 1716. White stucco, small black iron doors at the bottom, and a large windowed room at the very top.
And that's the classic look that when you see things like on mugs or postcards or different renditions of paintings.
That's lighthouse keeper Sally Snowman, wearing Revolutionary-era clothes that she makes herself, a long flowered dress, apron, and bonnet.
The dress that I'm wearing today, it is the garb that the keeper's wife would have worn in 1783.
Why 1783 and not 1716? That's because of the lighthouse's long history, of which Snowman has encyclopedic knowledge. During the Revolutionary War, Snowman says the lighthouse was not only an important navigational tool in a busy harbor, but it was also a symbol of British control. So it was a target.
It is not the one built in 1716. That one was blown up by the British in 1776. This is the new one.
New, of course, is a relative term. The tower and the five other buildings on the island that comprise the light station have been repaired, some replaced, over the years. At the base of the lighthouse tower is a small museum with various artifacts, including a large cannon that served as the first fog signal in case mariners couldn't see the light.
It was just black powder that would get fired off to go ba-boom. And they used that until 1851, 1719 to 1851.
This tower was built on the foundation of the original in 1783. 14 feet were later added, so it's now 89 feet tall. The Coast Guard, which owns the property and employs Snowman, spent $1.5 million renovating it for this year's tricentennial celebration.
We made it look really spiffy for it, and now you're out here. So I think we should go to the top of the tower and look at that.
Let's go. 79 steps up, a narrow iron spiral staircase leads to a small gear room that resembles those circular amusement park rides where passengers stick to the side of the walls. In the center is a large round black structure rotating on 8 metal wheels. Above that is a lamp that's under this enormous glass lens.
You'll notice that the light that was flashing every 10 seconds is not a light bulb that's flashing. It's 4,000 pounds of glass and brass rotating.
The lens in this room is what's known as a second-order Fresnel lens from France, which was installed in 1859. It's a 13-foot tall by roughly 5 feet around prism-like structure with glass panels cut in specific patterns to reflect the light, at least most of the time.
Because it's an 1859 optic and we're in the 21st century electronics, there's glitches for the 2 centuries to talk to each other. So it's not infrequent that the light is out.
But 21st century technology does step in. The lighthouse is automated, and light can be provided during emergencies, which Snowman says shows that lighthouses are still important.
There's so many pleasure boaters and small boats, fishermen and lobster women and things like that, that still depend upon that visual sighting. So although vessels have electronics, they have a tendency to fail. And they're going to want to go to that chart, that paper chart, and they're going to want to figure out where they are.
The Coast Guard started automating the nation's lighthouses in the mid-20th century. Snowman is the only resident lighthouse keeper in the country. She says she spends most of her days organizing volunteers and overseeing the property, where she lives most of the time between April and October. And many nights, if you're south of Boston, you might hear her at dusk with her large handmade buffalo skin drum. For Here and Now, I'm Deborah Becker.
And let's end the hour with a couple more voices from last night in Philadelphia.
I accept your
to be out here with the crowd makes me think of maybe there's hope. It's a historic moment. Very proud it's happening here in Philadelphia. So proud.
Really, if you don't give up, you stay in there, if you believe in yourself, and if you do the right thing, you will prevail. I like her guts. I like her compassion. I like everything about her. She's a good person.
Former Washington, D.C. First Lady Cora Berry. Before that, John Sigmund of Philadelphia, and of course, Hillary Clinton. And as they did in Cleveland, the cheers will fade, and it'll be on to the general election.